And what a great song that was. Hallelujah. you're a Savior. I mean, you can't get any better than that. Once again, it's my honor and privilege to be here, you know, with you. And I'm thankful that y'all all chose to, you know, come out today and hear me. And that I hope you get something from what I have to, you know, say to you, you know. On a day like today, I mean, it's a beautiful day that the Lord has made. And all too often, many people choose a day like today to make excuses for not coming to church. I mean, there's too many things to do. There's barbecues to get ready for on today. There's Easter egg hunts to plan. You know, there's fishing trips. Some people might even decide to go turkey hunting today. I think the season's still open. But there's many excuses that you can, you know, make for not being here, which I don't agree with, but many people do it all the time. But excuses is something that it's just part of human nature. I've worked for 15 years, more than 15 years as a supervisor, and during that time, man, I heard some excuses. Most of them were real imaginative about why they couldn't get a job finished on time, why they couldn't get to work at all, you know, things like that. I've got a 9-year-old grandson that when we start to do his homework, this little fella can come up with more reasons why I don't need to do this, I don't want to start now. You know, you're doing this, you're doing that. But he's come up with more excuses than any little fellow I've ever seen. But, you know, making excuses is not really a, you know, new thing. I mean, it went back, you know, even in the time of Moses. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 3. And, you know, we'll look at how Moses made excuses. The first, I guess the 10 verses of that chapter tells you about how God revealed himself to Moses through the burning bush. And during that, you know, what he told Moses was that, you know, he knew that the children of Israel was in Egypt, and he knew their oppressions, the pain and suffering and stuff that they were, you know, encountering there. And in verse 10, we'll start reading there. He tells Moses, "Come therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And this is the point where Moses started making his, you know, excuses for not wanting to do what God had just asked him to do. So he made excuses to cover up the fact that he didn't think he was a man for the job. And that sounds familiar, you know, today, that, you know, we do much the same thing. We're asked to deliver those that are outside the church and in the bondage of sin. You know, as Jesus tells us exactly what we should do, we should go out to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And that's Acts 26, verse 18. All too often, we're just like Moses, and we make some of the same excuses that he's made. Moses made 5 excuses when he was asked to take the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And the first one was, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" That's Exodus 3, verse 11. And maybe what prompted Moses to wonder if he was the right man to do that job and start making excuses was that, if you remember, he was once a member of the royal family of Egypt, and the ruling family. And now he was just a lowly shepherd. It had been 40 years since he had been out of Egypt. And now he was an 80-year-old man. And he thought he was already past, and he was past the average lifespan of his generation. But God's response to Moses' excuse was quick. And he said, "I will certainly be with you." Exodus 3:12. When God made his promise to Moses, it should have been sufficient and adequate. to convince him to perform the task of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. But unfortunately, that wasn't. And as we see later, he'll continue to make excuses. When we make excuses, the response that God gave Moses should also be sufficient for us today. And how do we know this? Because Paul writes in Romans 8:12, if God is for us, who can be against us? And some of us today use the same excuses. Who am I? When we try to excuse ourselves from believing that we are insufficient for the task that God gives us. It's true that by ourselves, we are insufficient. But God can make us sufficient because, as he tells us, our sufficiency is of God. We're told that in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Look at what God did through Jesus with 12 men, untrained, some uneducated. We now know them as the 12 apostles today. So it proves that through Jesus, God can provide us with the same assurances that he'd given to Moses. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, as Jesus said. Tells us in Matthew 28, verse 20. You see, with God's help, through Jesus, we can accomplish anything that he wants us to do. And I believe that any excuse that we give for not doing what the Lord has called us to do is simply a smokescreen for us to hide behind. This is what Moses did, again, when he quickly comes up with a second excuse. What shall I say? Found in Exodus 3:13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses knew that the children of Israel would ask him questions like this, who is this God that has sent you, and maybe why are we to leave this country that we've considered a home for over 400 years? Moses was probably expressing what he thought was his inadequacy in knowing how to answer the questions that the children of Israel might ask. But again, God was quick to respond to this excuse. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And today, don't we try to use the same excuse ourselves by saying that we don't have adequate knowledge to help save the people from the powers of Satan? But shouldn't we also know that just as God told Moses what to do and say, he will also tell us what to do and what to say through Jesus? What exactly does Jesus tell us to do? He will save the people from the power of Satan. He tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, telling them, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And that's in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Saving people from Satan is really just that simple. No need to have a smoke screen, to hide behind. And just like Moses, we have no reason or excuse for asking, what shall I say? And like many of us today, despite God giving Moses, despite God having given Moses the instructions on what to say and telling him that I will be with you, he comes up with a third excuse. They will not believe me. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So, even though Moses was told that what to say, he comes up, you know, with the idea that people may not listen and believe him. He has also already forgotten that God has told him, I will certainly be with you. Now maybe he's just simply afraid of failing. But again, God responds quickly to this excuse by equipping him with several convincing proofs to use. The first proof being the rod, which turns into a serpent. Exodus 4, 2 through 5. And God said unto him, what is it in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the second thing he was told to, you know, to do was to use his own hand, which turned into, you know, leprosy. And in Exodus 4, 6 through 8, he was told to put your hand into your bosom. And he did. And when he took it out, it had leprosy. And then he was told to put his hand back in. And when he pulled it out, it was, you know, back to normal. And this was the sign that he would also, you know, be believed. And the third thing was he was to use water, which was to turn into blood when dropped upon the ground, on dry ground. And it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry ground, and the water which thou hast taken out of the river shall become blood upon the dry, you know, ground. You see, by giving Moses these three proofs, God knew that they would convince the children of Israel that Moses was sent by God to lead them out of Egyptian, you know, bondage. And some of us today, sometimes we hesitate to share the gospel for the same reason, that we have the fear of failure, and it keeps us from, you know, trying. But just as God gives Moses proofs to use, he also gives us the Bible, which is his word, as convincing evidence is necessary to convince those outside, you know, the church. The Bible gives us evidences concerning the resurrection of Christ, fulfilled prophecy, and etc. And use them as aids for us to use as convincing proof as we share the gospel with people today. With these aids, how can we justify not sharing the gospel with others? We find the fourth excuse made by Moses. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my God, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I think what Moses is saying here is that I'm not an eloquent speaker, and maybe I'm just a little slow at coming up with what to say. But God wasn't moved by these objections at all. You see, God already knows the inadequacies of those who He calls. He tells Moses, "Who hath made, you know, man's mouth, or who hath made the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." And I think what the Lord is telling Moses here is that I know everybody's shortcomings, and I promise that I'll be with you and be your mouthpiece. However, God had already heard three excuses from Moses, so and he'd become a little angry. And to make sure that Moses could not use this excuse, he had arranged for Aaron to be Moses' mouthpiece. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and he will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be the instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be him instead of God." Have you noticed that sometimes Christians try to use the same "I'm slow of speech, I'm slow of tongue" excuses, you know, today? I can't understand why, because if we look at what the Bible says, Paul, you know, says that he came not with excellency of speech, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man, with man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit. And that's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1, 3, and 4. And if excellency of speech and enticing words were a prerequisite, I wouldn't be standing before you today. Also, it hasn't stopped others from telling people about Christ. Some have overcame speech impediments and became preachers, and despite their stammering, preach every time they have an opportunity. At the very least, if we don't think we're able to, you know, speak, then we should take advantage of those who can by arranging Bible studies for them as a way of teaching and sharing the gospel with others. We've looked at the four excuses that Moses made, but as I mentioned earlier, they were only smoke screens attempting to hide the fifth excuse, which may be the real reason for all the previous excuses. O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send, as Moses said in Exodus 4:13. And this is just another way of Moses saying, O Lord, send anybody but me. All the previous excuses was just simply smoke screens that Moses used to hide the fact that maybe Moses just simply didn't want to go. And despite all that the Lord had done to encourage Moses and strengthen his faith, he still felt a reluctance to undertake the difficult task and important mission of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. The great lesson that Moses is overlooking here is it would not be him who would actually direct their deliverance, but God. And don't you think the same thing is true today with us? Any and every excuse that we offer today is only a smokescreen hiding the fact that we really would prefer that God would use someone else and not us. Maybe it's because we often, more often than not, really don't want to do what God has called us to do. But we should be reminded that the anger of the Lord is kindled against those who do not live up to, you know, their calling. You know, we read in Exodus 3:14 a few minutes ago that God became angry with Moses, you know, for him giving excuses. And if we're guilty of making excuses for not doing what God has called us to do, it's not too late. All we need to do is repent and answer the call. With Moses, as Paul Harvey would say, we know the rest of the story. He answered the call. He went to Egypt, and with the help of God, he delivered the children out of Egyptian bondage. But what about us today? What will the rest of our story be? Will we heed the call to share the gospel with the lost, or will we continue to make excuses and one day face the wrath of God? Only time will tell. What about the call to obey the gospel of Christ? Are you making excuses for not responding as we know we should? If you are, you may think you have valid reasons, but just as God answered every objection given by Moses, His Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to any reason or excuse that we use. We only need to take the time to read it and study it, to find it. Let me ask you the same question that Ananias asked in Acts 22:16. And why carriest? And why now thy carriest? Arise and be baptized and wash away the sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And I think we need to do that when the invitation is given to rise and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, repent of our sins and confess it publicly and be baptized and then walk in newness for the rest of our life. And if you're here today then haven't answered that gospel call to become a member of the church that Christ set upon this rock I will build, or if you need the prayers of the church for any reason, the invitation is open for you to come forward and stand and sing the song of the celebrities.